Glad to see y'all here tonight. Good singing, and continue lifting your voices up. Hymn 272, I'm on the winning side. Who knows the parts to I'm on the winning side? Oh, come on. All right, let's hear all those parts. Y'all sing out. Here we go. Once I drifted out in sin, I had no hope nor joy within, and my soul was burdened down with pride. Then my Savior came along, and He showed me I was wrong. Now I know I'm on the winning side. Here we go, parts now. Well, I am on the winning side. Yes, I'm on the winning side. Out in sin, no more I abide. Well, I've enlisted in the fight for the cause of truth and right. Praise the Lord, I'm on the winning side. On the last now, I will never have a fear, for my Lord is ever near, and in Him so often I confide. He's a keeper of my soul, since I gave Him full control, and He placed me on the winning side. Let's do it a cappella. Here we go. Well, I am on the winning side. Yes, I'm on the winning side. Out in sin, no more I abide. Well, I've enlisted in the fight for the cause of truth and right. Praise the Lord, I'm on the winning side. Amen. Boy, that's good. Amen. I appreciate y'all being here singing out. Let's pray and ask the Lord to bless tonight. Brother Bingham, would you open us in a word of prayer, please, sir? Amen. Amen. Thank you. You may be seated for a brief moment. And I'd like to welcome you all to Bible Baptist Church. And we got visitors all over the place, mainly from Arkansas. Somebody thought you all from Arizona. I didn't know it was not Arizona, Arkansas. But I'm glad you guys are here. Thank you. They're going to Six Flags tomorrow. And so pray for Six Flags, right? Amen. Y'all came down, all this group, in two buses? Two vans. Wow. I'll send you guys, man, I'll be praying for y'all. How many was that in each van? Oh, that's not too bad. Oh, man, still teenagers. I'm glad y'all are here. Thank y'all for coming. Y'all sounded good. Look forward to y'all singing here in just a few minutes. But if it's your very first time in visiting here, other than Brother Weedo's group, I'd like you to just raise your hand. Our gentleman in the back, Brother Terry, will get you a visitor's card. We got some right there. Thank y'all for coming, folks. We sure appreciate y'all being here tonight. And anybody out looking around, I don't see anybody else visiting with us this evening. Thank you all for coming. Members, make sure you get by and let them know that you appreciate them coming and being here tonight. If you have a cell phone, we'd ask you please make sure it's in the off position or at least on vibrate. We'd appreciate that. And if you have any young kids under the age of three, we do provide a nursery for you straight to the back. It'd be the second door on the left-hand side. We have some ladies back there that'd be glad to help you with whatever you have. If we have other announcements, but for time's sake, just grab a bulletin on the foyer table out there. It'll let you know exactly what is going on. And people that are in Vacation Bible School, we will have shirts, and they're $5 each. And if you want one of those shirts, please let me know, and we'll get that ordered for you. And now, if you would, let's stand and sing number 11, hymn number 11, He Is Mine, number 11. Everybody know this one, right? Y'all know, they got this in Arkansas, right? Amen. Let's sing out. Here we go. Sing with me now. Long before the fall of man, God designed a master plan. He exchanged a sinner for the sinless one. Jesus left His throne on high, came to earth to bleed and die.
mine. He said, Father, not my will, but thine be done. Sing up now. He is mine. He is mine. I am blessed beyond all measure. He is mine. I have pardon full and free through the blood he shed for me. Saved forever I shall be. He is mine. On the second, through God's mercy and his grace, he's prepared for us a place. Words cannot describe the matchless beauty there. We will praise the perfect Lamb, King of kings, the great I am. He has made the joys of heaven ours to share. He is mine, he is mine. I am blessed beyond all measure. He is mine. I have pardon full and free through the blood he shed for me. Saved forever I shall be. He is mine. If you would, take a minute, greet each other, be friendly, shake hands, and we'll come back here in just a minute. As you find your place, join with me on the chorus again. All with me on the chorus. He is mine. He is mine. I am blessed beyond all measure. He is mine. I have pardon full and free through the blood he shed for me. Saved forever I shall be. He is mine. Amen. Good singing. Let's ask the Lord to bless the offering this evening. Father, we love you. We thank you. We do ask you, please bless us tonight and watch over us. I pray that you be with all the music, all the singing. I pray, God, that you would be honored and praised and glorified at everything we do. And Lord, I just ask you, please be with the preaching most of all. Lord, we thank you for the plendos, Lord, that are here presenting their mission field. And Lord, I just pray that everything would just be pleasing in your sight tonight. In Jesus' precious name, amen. Thank you. You may be seated. Thank you.
everyone. I don't want to miss my mission in a plan that you've begun. You have promised you'll go with me through the edges of it all.
Some preaching now. Amen. Take your books, go to hymn number 38, and we're just going to sing. Brother Oplendo is going to come here in just a minute, and he is a missionary to the Philippines, and he's letting it start with him. I appreciate that song, guys. Thank you. And if you would, just stand, stretch your legs for just a few minutes. Brother Oplendo's get ready here in just a second. Sun's coming up, hymn number 38. Sing with me. We'll sing a cappella. It's all right. Once again, I face Satan this morning, and I battled him all the day long. But in my weakness, God sent reinforcements. And at sundown, I sang victory songs. Sing out now. And the sun's coming up in the morning. Every tear will be gone from my eyes. This old clay's gonna give way to glory. And like an eagle, I'll take to the sky. In a world filled with doubts and confusion, it's so hard when you don't understand. Oh, but I'll stand on a solid foundation, and I'll hold to an unchanging hand. Lift your voice, sing out now. And the sun's coming up in the morning. Every tear will be gone from my eye. This old clay's gonna give way to glory. And like an eagle,
go, I'll take to the sky.
Amen. Thank you. You may be seated. Brother Olpendo, please come. And if you would like just to introduce your wife and your ministry, and he's got a presentation to show us. And I thank him for coming and being here, brother. Come on ahead. And while you're talking, I'll get some things going on here.
Good evening, fellow Christians. First of all, just want to thank the Lord for the opportunity he gave me to stand behind this pulpit. And thank you so much, Pastor Chris, for allowing us to come over here and present the ministry. And we have here my wife. Could you please stand up, ma'am? And she is my beloved wife. And she is my only wife. Amen. Tonight, we're going to share to you our DVD presentation, and after that, I'm going to talk about the ministry, and if you have any question later, you can just ask questions.
I have been engaged in starting mission works to expand the reach of the gospel not only throughout our city, but beyond its borders. That's when I decided to become a church planting missionary and the use of God wherever He leads me. At the same time, I continued to build up on the ministry that my pastor started, which is mainly soul winning through one-on-one witnessing, evangelistic services held in the surrounding villages, and holding Bible studies in different homes. We continue to expand our outreaches. We have been reaching out to more families in the villages. Several members of our church volunteered to help start God Bless Our Home ministry. It has been an effective ministry wherein our members have been able to invite their unsaved families, friends, and neighbors to our Bible studies right in their villages. We have been reaching out to the police force in our city. Every Monday morning, I have had the privilege of teaching the Bible to them. Some of them have professed Christ as their personal Savior. God also gave me the opportunity to lead the chief of police to the Lord Jesus Christ and hold one-on-one Bible studies with him every Wednesday. We have been reaching out to more young people. We have been able to teach the Bible in public schools. Young people as well as their teachers are professing Christ as their Savior. We are also reaching kids through our children Bible centers. Every month, we gather with children at our church to teach them the Word of God and feed them. It has been our joy in the Lord to see people getting saved and following Him in water baptism. Lately, I had the privilege of baptizing my second son, Caleb, and one of my former professors in the College of Electrical Engineering. We also continue to help in the training of nationals. So far, four men from our church are now in different mission fields as missionaries. Locally, we were able to plant two village churches in the outlying areas of our city through men like them. But our mission is far from over. We are moving forward. Starting this year, our goal is to plant 8 more village mission churches within our city, our provinces, and even in neighboring countries of Southeast Asia by 2020. With men, this may be impossible, but with God, everything is possible. We will seek out more men and women to disciple them in wholly following the Lord, to team up with us in winning more souls and prepare them for the great task of planting churches in mission fields where Christ is not yet named. Thank you for watching this brief presentation. Thank you for praying for us. Thank you for being partners with us. To God be the glory.
Actually, coming to America is not it is not easy, because we need to get visa. Unlike those illegal moving from outside your country, they don't need the papers, and we need to seek a visa in the United States Embassy in our country. And our goal in coming here, we have two purposes. First is to raise funds for our family monthly support, and please pray for that. And secondly, our Second goal is we are raising funds also for the church property in our country. And God gave us a beautiful place in Dagupan City, and it is a big building. It's big, big building already, and it is $40,000. The cost of that building and the property is $40,000. We paid it already for $20,000, and we are still short of $20,000. And as of now, we have already $4,000 in our. We raised already $4,000, and this morning the church we've been. Gave us $1,000. That's why we have already $5,000 in that property. And please pray that God will give us churches that be that will be partners in that open door of blessing project. And we are praying for more 15 more churches that could give at least $1,000 for that property, and or members or Christians that are willing to help us to purchase to donate or to give at least 1 square meter. You are using English system here in America. 1 square meter is 10.75 square feet, which is 1 meter is more than a yard. At 1 yard is 36 inches, and a meter is 39 inches. And 1 square meter is $60. That's why we have. I talked to Pastor and a while ago, and we have our commitment card here, and per square meter is $60. And if God touch your heart to give or to be partnered to be partner with us in the ministry in the Philippines, we have our commitment card here. Actually, this will be also used as your Bible bookmark, and. You have to fill up whatever God put it in your heart. God touch your heart to give at least at $60 and or more, and that will be a blessing for us in that mission field. And thank you so much. And actually, we thank God for you Americans because you love the Lord. We have a lot of things to thank God for Americans. Especially 3M. First is your military. Yes, sir. You send your troops during the World War II in the Philippines, and you send your missionary, and you send your missionary, and because of the gospel they brought to us, we came to know the Lord Jesus Christ as our own salvation. And thirdly, the last M is McDonald's. Yes. Is that right, Brother Jeremy? The McDonald's is everywhere in the Philippines. In our city alone, we have 3 McDonald's. We love you, Americans. You send us 3 M's: your military, your missionary, and your McDonald's, Pastor. May I ask my wife to play the piano? I'm going to sing the song Win the Lost at Any Cost. And I hope that the message of this song will touch our heart. As we look around us, all the fields are white, ripened unto harvest, and so swiftly comes the night. Christians must get busy, there is work to do. Here's an urgent test awaiting you. Souls are crying, men are dying, won't you lead them to the cross? Go and find them, help to win them, win the lost at any cost. Go out and win
Your fault, my Christian. Are the children in? Are there yet some straying lost in blackened fields of sin? You must go and reach them. Go without delay. Soon the shades of night will end the day. Souls are crying, men are dying. Won't you lead them to the cross? Go and find them, help to win them, win the lost at any cost. Go out and win, rescue from sin. Day's almost gone, losing the sun. Souls are crying, men are dying, win the lost at any cost, win the lost at any cost.
Thank you, Brother Okendo. I appreciate that. Man, a lot of good music and singing tonight, and I really appreciate it all. Brother Mitchell is coming. His wife is coming. She's going to sing one more. Should we go one more song? Hold on a second. There we go. I got it. I really appreciate the Mitchells and what they've done here. And he's taught our adult class, and she's helped watch nursery, and they've gone visiting and done so many things. We really appreciate them. They'll be missed. And I just want to let you know, guys, personally and publicly, I appreciate all that you guys do. Come on ahead.
Lately I've been looking back along this winding road to the old familiar markers of the mercies I have known. I know it may sound simple, but it's more than a cliche. No better way to tell you than to say His arms around me as I faced my darkest fears. I've had more gains than losses, and I've known more joy than hurt as His grace flows down upon me undeserved. God's been good in my life. I've had my share of hard times. I wouldn't change them if I could, 'cause through it all, God's been good. God has been my Father, my Savior, and my friend. His love was my beginning.
best way I can say it is this: God's been good in my life. I feel blessed beyond my wildest dreams when I go to sleep each night. Though I've had my share of hard times, I wouldn't change them if I could, 'cause through it all, through it all, through it all, God's been good.
Water, probably. The water. Well, good evening. This thing actually on? Is it working? All right. Take that thing down. Well, it is an honor. It is a privilege to be here this evening. And as Heather and I don't think I could have picked a better song for Heather to sing than that one. Because if you look back at it, you know, we've been through some difficult times, but we're not alone. We're not the only ones who have. Matter of fact, if you haven't, they're coming. Just wait a second. They'll be there. But you know, you look back at it, and you stop and take just a moment and realize that through every bit of it, God has a plan. There's not a turn in the road that He doesn't see coming. There's not a life tragedy, as we say it, that He doesn't know in advance is on its way. Thank you, Pastor. There's not a good time. There's not a bad time. There's not an in-between time. There's not a friend that we will run into that He doesn't know about in advance. There's not an enemy that we might make that God doesn't know is coming. And yet every bit of that is because He's good. And everything that He does is for a reason. It's for a plan. And, you know, sometimes we look back at it. Pastor and I talked about this rather extensively over the last few months as this whole transition process began. And, you know, you sometimes think that you're here for a reason. And you look back and realize that God had a totally different plan in place. And the path that you are on, though you think you're taking step by step by step for one reason, God's got you learning things along the way for something totally different. And sometimes the most difficult times are really the best times. Because things don't grow on the mountain peaks. The lushest valleys are the difficult times, and those are where we grow the most. And so it is... You know, I couldn't have picked a better song as we sit back and look at it as we're in transition as to what God's been doing. And it really is a joy to do that. Pastor, I thank you for the opportunity to preach tonight. But you guys didn't come to hear me just kind of go on and on and on. My boss is sitting back there. He'll tell you I can do that. But if you'll take your Bibles, turn to a very familiar passage of Scripture tonight. Brother Wido, where's Brother? There we are. You wouldn't mind if I preach a little bit like a youth pastor tonight, would you? 14 years in youth ministry, I kind of revert back that way sometimes. So, all right, as long as you're okay with that, with your youth group here, we're all good. Very familiar passage, 1 Samuel chapter 17. If you'll get there, if you are visiting tonight, most of our pews, if you'll look at, there is a Bible in the song, the hymn book rack if you need it. 1 Samuel chapter 17, and once you're there, if you'll stand with me, we'll read the first 11 verses tonight. And then I will do a little bit of a youth pastor thing. I will kick in and kind of go back to revert for a few minutes, and we'll wrap up the message in probably when I get done. 1 Samuel chapter 17, beginning in verse 1, the Bible says, "Now the Philistines gathered together their armies to battle and were gathered together at Shochah, and belongeth to Judah, and pitched between Shochah and Azekah and Ephes-Damon. And Saul and the men of Israel were gathered together and pitched by the valley of Elah and set the battle in array against the Philistines. And the Philistines stood on a mountain on one side, and Israel stood on a mountain on the other, and there was a valley between them. And there went out a champion out of the camp of the Philistines named Goliath of Gath, whose height was 6 cubits and a span. He had a helmet of brass upon his head, and he was armed with a coat of mail, and the weight of the coat was 5,000 shekels of brass. And he had graves of brass upon his legs and target of brass between his shoulders. And the staff of his spear was like a weaver's beam. and his spear's head weighed 600 shekels of iron, and one bearing a shield went before him. And he stood and cried unto the armies of Israel and said unto them, Why are ye come out to set your battle in array? Am not I a Philistine, and you servants of Saul? Choose you a man for you, and let him come out down to me. And if he be able to fight with me and to kill me, then will be your servants. But if I prevail against him and kill him, then shall ye be our servants and serve us. And the Philistine said, I defy the armies of Israel this day. Give me a man, that we may fight together. When Saul and all Israel heard these words of the Philistine, they were dismayed and greatly afraid. Let's pray. When I'm done, you may be seated. Father, again, I come before you this evening. Lord, I come before you unworthy to stand behind this pulpit. Lord, I thank you for the privilege of opening up your word. Lord, I don't take it lightly. Father, tonight, the words that I have are worthless unless your spirit works. Father, I don't care if the messenger is ever remembered, but Lord, I pray, this is the message you've laid on my heart tonight. Lord, you laid it there 3 weeks ago when you opened up the door to preach tonight. And Father, I just ask, Lord, you would take it, that you would use it. Father, you'd hide me behind the cross. Father, I pray that you would control my mind and my thoughts, my lips, the very words that I say, the illustrations. Lord God, I just ask that you would use me this evening. Father, I don't want to walk out of here having given a pep talk. Lord, we want to leave changed. Lord, we want your spirit to work. Father, I ask that he would have free reign within this room. Bind the strong man tonight. Lord, I pray that you would put a hedge of protection about this auditorium. God, I ask that you would use these words, use this message, use your word, Father, as a hammer to break up the fallow ground. Lord, I pray that as a sword, that it would pierce the dividing asunder of soul and spirit and the joints and marrow. That, Father, it would be, as you've promised, a discerner of the very thoughts and the intents of our heart. God, we claim the promise that your word will not return unto you void. But, Father, that it will accomplish that which you've sent it forth to do. Lord, I don't know who's in this room tonight who needs this message, but you do. So, Father, I pray, Lord, you would help me to get out of the way, that your word would do what you want it to do tonight. Lord, we just ask that you be real. Father, we want your power to be evident tonight. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. If I could, for just a moment, I'm going to revert back to being a youth pastor for a little bit, and I'd like to start by setting up the situation that's here. So I need Pastor to come up here for a moment. Actually, he's going to be up here the whole service. Come on up, Pastor. Good. I don't want you to. The Bible tells us here that the Philistine came out of champion of the Philistines, whose name was Goliath, whose height was 6 cubits and a span. Now, Pastor, you're about 6 foot, six foot 3 1/2, okay? So here's what we need. I need, if you could, because we need to build this up just a little bit higher. I need a couple of extra hymn books here. All right. Here's what I need you to do then, Pastor. I need you to stand on the hymn books on the chair. And we are going to, yep, all the way up. All the way up, Pastor. You're going to be there for a while, so get comfortable. There we go. Now, here's what we're looking at. The Bible tells us that the Goliath was six cubits and a span. Now, a cubit is approximately 18 inches, or about 1 1/2 feet. So 6 cubits would be about 9 feet high. So going from the ground floor here, up 16 inches, up probably another 16 inches, add Pastor on top of that, from where I'm standing to where he is approximately how tall Goliath was. Approximately. Now, the tallest man that I have ever met, had the privilege of meeting, I met at camp working in Wisconsin. He had a growth problem, a hormone problem, where he couldn't stop growing. They flew him from Russia to Rochester, Minnesota for emergency surgery to try to slow him down. And if you looked it up, he was in the Guinness Book of World Records for being the tallest first grader in history at 6'5" in first grade. When I met him at 13 years old, he was 7'2". The last time I saw him at 16 years old, he was 7'11" and 5/8 inches tall. Now, I can remember that because that is exactly the height of a men's volleyball net. 7'11" and 5/8", exactly the same height. Now, I say all that to say this. At 7'11" and 5/8" tall, he's roughly a foot and a half shorter than Goliath. And he weighed 430 pounds, a foot and a half shorter than Goliath. So would you tend to say that it's fair that if you add another foot and a half to him, that 600 pounds is realistic? Is that a fair number? Anybody disagree that 600 pounds is probably fair? Now we turn around and take it from there. My brother, and those of you who know me well know that I talk about my brother in illustrations somewhat regularly. My brother is in the Marine Corps. When he started going through military activities, he did something that a lot of soldiers tend to do. He got stronger. He put on muscle. And what little bit of fat was there is now a lean machine. And my brother, in a total of about the last 3.5 years, has put on 45 pounds of lean muscle. Goliath, the Bible tells us, was a warrior from his youth. Is it fair to say that Goliath was probably relatively strong and lean? Anybody disagree? Andy, I'm going to call on you for just a quick second. Strong and lean, typically heavier than same size, not so lean? Okay. So, let's take the 600 pounds, and would it then be fair to say that if he was strong and lean and full of muscle, it was probably closer to 700 pounds? Anybody disagree? So if he's 700 pounds, 9'6", 700 pounds, the Bible tells us that he also had on him a helmet of brass. We don't know how heavy that was. But he had a coat of mail. This is verse 5. The weight of the coat was 5,000 shekels of brass. That's approximately 157 pounds. So 700 pounds, add 155 pounds on just the breastplate. The Bible says in the very next verse that he had a target of brass between his shoulders. If you do any research, you'll find that the target of brass was approximately 2/3 the weight of the front piece. So, 700 pounds, add 155, we're at 855 pounds. Add the plate on his back, the target between his back, we're now at 955 pounds. Add the helmet on there, add the shin guards, if we could, on there. Is it fair to say that Goliath is probably every bit of 1,000 pounds? That's a big dude. That's a big dude. And he carried a big sword. Pastor, I stole this out of your office. There you go. Pastor now has a sword. So here we have a massive man. This is not anybody that you're going to bump into on the street today. This is a big dude. All right? Now, let's get this comparison. JR, I asked you earlier how tall you are. You are? Perfect. Come on up here. Come on up here, JR. Okay. Okay. Well, let's just call him 4'6". The average full-grown Israelite man was about 5'6". Do I have anybody who's 5'6" in here? I have a 5'6", 5'6". You're right at 5'6". Come on up here. So here's what we have. This right here would be the average. What's your name?
Nathan.
It's good to meet you, Nathan. I'm Chris. This right here is the average full-grown Jewish man at that point in time, which means head and shoulders above him. This is great, Andy. You ought to enjoy this. Head and shoulders above him, I am probably as tall as King Saul would have been, roughly 6 feet tall. So here we have David, the average soldier, King Saul. None of us compare to Goliath. Let me ask you a simple question. Raise your hand. How many of you in this room would be completely nervous facing that dude at our height? Okay? Here's what I'm getting at, guys. You can have a seat. I'm going to leave JR up here for a little bit. Here's what I'm getting at. There's no reason. The Bible tells us here in verse number 11, it says, all Israel heard those words, the Philistines. They were dismayed and greatly afraid. Let's be real. All of us would be greatly afraid. All of us would, right? So what made it that 4'6" David could do what 5'6" Jewish man and 6-foot-tall Saul couldn't do? What was it that allowed him to defeat him? Why was it that 1,000 pounds versus 60 pounds was an unfair fight this way? We look at it this way. The truth of the matter is, the fair fight, Goliath didn't stand a chance. Why? Why? We look at it here. I want you to notice a couple of things in here as we look at this. Number one, I want you to understand, age doesn't matter. Age doesn't matter. As we look at the story here, we've got teenagers here in 7th and 8th grade. We've got kids here that are younger than that. We've got adults. We've got people that are on the far latter half of their life. Age doesn't matter. Here, you've got approximately a 12-year-old boy going against a very seasoned warrior. And age doesn't matter. So as we look at the next few points here, I want you to stop and think. I don't care what age you are. I don't care how early you are in your Christian walk. I don't care how early you are in your ability to understand what's going on. It doesn't matter. Age does not matter. You can serve God regardless of age. You can serve God. Doesn't matter if you're in first grade, fifth grade, 10th grade, or an adult. See, so often adults, let's face it, we discourage many times our young people from serving God because we say, you know what? They just don't understand. Give them a little bit of time. They'll grow up. And you know that commitment to being a missionary? Probably didn't understand it when he was 8. I don't know. David seemed to get it. Well, you know, he said he was going to serve God for the rest of his life, but he didn't know anything different. When temptation comes, he'll walk away. I don't know. David didn't have any problem with that. Age doesn't matter. Parents, let's be careful that we don't get in the way of David. Let's be careful to realize that our job is to nurture the next David, not to get in the way. Age doesn't matter. And let me put it on the other end of the spectrum. There's no place in Scripture that says that you can retire either.
Amen.
The other side of the spectrum is pretty simple too. We tend to get to 55, 60, 65, 70, and we say, you know what? I can't do that anymore, so I'll sit back and not do anything. And fact of the matter is, God never told you to retire. Maybe there's physical limitations in certain things you can no longer do, but God never said retire. You won't find a retired preacher in Scripture. I challenge you to find one. They're not there. The people that God calls heroes never retire. They just keep serving God. Maybe the capacity changes. Maybe the ability changes. Maybe what they're capable of doing physically changes. But that doesn't mean we stop serving God. So how did David get to this point? Number one, I want you to understand, obedience always precedes power. Obedience always precedes power. Take your Bible and flip over to verse 34 in your Bible there. Well, 32. The Bible says, "And David said to Saul, let no man's heart fail because of him. Thy servant will go and fight with this Philistine. And Saul said to David, thou art able to go against this Philistine to fight with him, for thou art but a youth, and he a man of war from his youth. And David said unto Saul, thy servant kept his father's sheep." What was David's job in life? David's job was to keep his father's sheep. He was the youngest. You can flip back to about verse 13, and we find he was the youngest of the children. And his job was simply to take care of the sheep. I don't know if you realize this or not, but in Jewish culture, if you were a shepherd, you were so low on the totem pole that you could be the witness to a crime and it didn't matter. Your voice didn't count. Did you know that? If two shepherds witnessed a murder, the guy would get away with it because it was shepherds. Who trusts the shepherd? Who cares? It's just the shepherd. David was a shepherd. So he was told to go and take care of the sheep. What is the job of a shepherd? You lead him to water. You lead him to food. What happens when an animal comes? What is a shepherd's responsibility? To protect them, right? Is there an age limit on when you're supposed to protect and when you're not? No, if you're a shepherd, you're a shepherd. If you're supposed to protect, you're supposed to protect. Look at what the Bible says here. Young little David says, "Thy servant kept his father's sheep." In other words, he was obedient. How small and minute the task may have seemed, he was obedient. He did what he was told to do. Just that simple. In the process of doing that, there came a lion and a bear and took a lamb out of the flocks. And I went after him and smote him and delivered it out of his mouth. And when he arose against me, I caught him by the... Somebody tell me what that next word is. Caught him by the beard. Where is the beard on a lion? Where's the beard on anybody? Right by the teeth. How many of you at this size are grabbing the beard of a lion and smiting it? Anybody want to go near those teeth? I'm sorry, I don't want to go near the teeth of a house cat. Anybody else with me there? They got claws. They know how to use them. All that a house cat is a miniature lion. It just doesn't know the difference. It thinks it's a lion. And if you get near the teeth of a house cat, it hurts. I'm not going near the teeth of a lion. The Bible says here that David went after. There was a lion and a bear, and the bear came, and they took a lamb out of the flock. And he said he smote the bear. We don't know how. Maybe he used his sling. But when the lion came and took one, we know how he did it. Apparently, he didn't have his sling. So he grabs him by the beard and decks him. Whose job was it to protect the sheep? The shepherds. Whose job was it to protect the shepherds? It was God's. David was being obedient. Think David got that? Go back to Psalm 23. The Lord is my shepherd. His job is to take care of me. My job is to be obedient. His job is to take care of me. So when David is told, go take care of the sheep, what does he do? He goes and takes care of the sheep. And in the process of being obedient, difficulties come. And they will always come. And when I am being obedient and doing what God wants me to do, sometimes things are simple and I'm leaning up against a tree and I'm playing with my harp and I'm throwing pebbles with my sling just for the fun of it. And sometimes it's all roses. And sometimes there's a lion. It doesn't change the fact that I'm supposed to be obedient. And obedience always precedes power. Back up and look just a couple of chapters earlier, and for sake of time, we won't do it tonight. But why did Saul lose his power? What did Samuel tell him? Obedience is better than sacrifice, and to hearken than the fat of rams. What happened? Saul, told to do something by God, disobeyed, and God took his power away. Obedience always precedes power. Verse 45, let's skip down to the verse there. It says, and here we get in the point where David grabs the stones and he heads off, and people say he grabbed five stones because they were five giants, and we don't know that. We can kind of read into that and hope and think and maybe whatever, but we don't know the difference. Maybe David grabbed five stones because his hands were only big enough to pick up five stones. For all we know, he's got tiny hands. We don't know. He's a little kid. He's not that strong. Maybe that's all he can do. I don't know. The Bible doesn't tell us. But we get down here. The Bible says in verse 41, the Philistine came and drew near unto David, and the man that bare the shield went before him. And when the Philistine looked about and saw David, he disdained him, for he was but a youth and ruddy and of fair countenance. And the Philistine said unto David, Am I a dog that thou comest to me with staves? And the Philistine cursed David by his gods. And the Philistine said to David, come to me, and I will give thy flesh unto the fowls of the air and to the beasts of the field. Then said David to the Philistine, thou comest to me with a sword and with a spear and with a shield. But I come to thee in the name of the Lord of hosts, the God of the armies of Israel. Look at that next phrase. This is key. Whom thou hast defied. Point number two, God always defends his name.
Amen.
God always defends His name. Look at what He says in verse 46, and this is my favorite verse in this whole passage. This day will the Lord deliver thee unto mine hand, and I will smite thee and take thine head from thee. And that's usually where we stop, isn't it? David goes back and says, hey, I come to you in the name of the Lord, the name of the Lord of hosts, the God of the armies of Israel, whom thou hast defied. And David looks at the giant as this big because God is this big. And David looks at the giant as just a human, where the Bible tells us that, as Pastor mentioned this morning, that the earth is his footstool. And yet we like to shake our fists, little tiny, tiny ants, to shake our fist up at God. And David recognizes this, but do you realize that's not where David stopped? Look at the next sentence. David says, I come after you and I will give the carcasses of the host of the Philistines this day unto the fowls of the air. You realize David didn't go after Goliath? David went after the entire army of the Philistines. Why? Because God always defends His name. God always defends His name. So if I am obedient, and I am the... Turn around, here we go. People want to see your face, not the back of your head. If I am obedient, and I have to face persecution for that, who is going to stand up for me? God will. Every time. Is there a problem? Is there a giant big enough that God can't handle it? Is there a giant big enough that God goes, ooh, I'm stuck. I don't know what to do here. Is there a problem that ever arises where God says, whoa, back up. Let's press the pause button on time. I got to figure this one out. No. Never. God is always bigger than every problem that we have. I don't know what your giant is today. I don't know if your giant is simply surrendering to something you already know you're supposed to do. I don't know. Maybe adult is a decision you need to make with you and your family, and it's a big one. And that's your giant. Maybe your giant is, and let me go places that we don't like to go in Baptist churches. Maybe your giant is the fact that you can't figure out your finances because you know you're supposed to give and you don't. Maybe that's your giant. I don't know what your giant is, but is there a giant big enough that God won't defend Himself? Has He not promised to meet all of our needs? Has He not? Philippians 4:13. I can do all things through Christ which strengthens me. Philippians 4:19. My God shall supply all your need according to my riches? No, according to His riches in glory by Christ Jesus. There isn't a problem big enough that God cannot defend Himself, and God always defends Himself. Always. So when the fight comes, I like the next part of this passage, so we get going, we'll pick up the pace here just a little bit. Verse 48 says, it came to pass when the Philistine arose and came and drew nigh to meet David, that David hasted and ran towards the army to meet the Philistine. And David put his hand into his bag and took hence a stone and slung it and smote the Philistine on his forehead. The stone sunk into his forehead and he fell upon his face to the earth. Okay, Pastor, face down right there. Face down on the ground. Real live illustration. Here we go. Down there on the ground. David, here you go. You need a sword. All right. Now, David put it, fell on, and so David prevailed over the Philistine with a sling and a stone and smote the Philistine and slew him, but there was no sword in the hand of David. Therefore, David ran and stood upon the Philistine. Go ahead. You can do it. You can do it. He's okay. Stood upon the Philistine, took his sword, drew it out of the sheath, and slew him, and cut his head thereof. And the Philistines saw their champion was dead. They fled. Okay, you can step down off him for pastor's sake. You can stay. No, you stay there. Stay there. You're dead. Stay there. Stay there. You're dead. Look at verse 52. And the men of Israel and of Judah arose and shouted and pursued the Philistines until thou come to the valley into the gates of Ekron. And the wounded of the Philistines fell down by the way of Sharam, even unto Gath and unto Ekron. And the children of Israel returned from chasing after the Philistines, and they spoiled their tents And David took the head of the Philistine and brought it to Jerusalem, but he put his armor in his tent. Point number three. Point number one, obedience always precedes power. Point number two, God always defends himself. Point number three, others always follow. Others always follow. Go back to the beginning of the chapter. Why were the rest of the soldiers still in the camp? Because the leader was a coward. When the leader stayed in the camp, so did everybody else. What happened when one little 12-year-old boy decided to do what he knew was right? Verse 52 tells us the armies of Israel followed. You know, I often wonder who the first person was who jumped over the embankment and followed him. I think if you look at chapter 18, you can make a case that maybe it was Jonathan. The Bible tells us that Jonathan's soul was knit with David's from that point forward. I wonder if it was Jonathan. I wonder if Jonathan sat there and said, that should have been me. I wonder if Jonathan, a seasoned warrior, who you can back up to chapter 16, and Jonathan does some amazing things, taking down a garrison of the Philistines by himself with just his armor bearer. And yet when the giant came, Jonathan followed a coward. I wonder if Jonathan was the first one over the line. But you know what? David did what was right and had no idea anybody else was coming. He didn't say, we will slaughter the armies of the Philistines. He said, I will. God is going to defend his name, and if I have to do it by myself, I will. But fact of the matter is somebody else is always going to follow. Adult, let me ask you, what direction are you leading them? Where are you taking them? There's always people looking up. Seventh grader, do you realize that you are the hero of every single elementary kid? They can't wait to be you and get in the youth group. Where are you taking them? Senior, where are you taking the seventh grader? Others always follow. And it's important that we stop and note that if I'm doing what's right, I will lead them to the right place. If I am serving the Lord and I don't care if I'm doing it by myself, I won't end up doing it by myself. I may feel like it for a little bit, but I won't. I'll never end up by myself. Number one, Lord's always with me. Number two, others always follow. Three simple points that we can look at in this lesson tonight. Number one, obedience always precedes power. Number two, God always, always defends his name. Number three, others always follow. Heads bowed, eyes closed tonight as we wrap up. Pastor, you can get up. I appreciate it. Thank you for your help. Heads bowed, eyes closed tonight. Let me ask you just a couple of questions as we wrap up. You know, perhaps you're here this evening and you say, you know, Brother Mitchell, I'm not 100% certain if I died today, I'd spend eternity in heaven. You know, maybe I'm 98%, 99%, but I'm not 100% certain if I died today, I'd spend eternity in heaven. Say, Brother Mitchell, would you pray for me? I know I didn't preach a long message on salvation tonight, but obedience always precedes power. Perhaps you're here and you say, Brother Mitchell, I'm not 100% certain if I died today, I'd spend eternity in heaven. Would you pray for me? I promise I won't embarrass you. Just slip your hand up, put it right back down. Just leave it up long enough for me to recognize. Is there anybody like that tonight? Said, Brother Mitchell, I'm not 100% certain if I died today, I'd spend eternity in heaven. Please pray for me. All right. Christians, let me ask you this. Are you obedient? You say you want the power of God on your life. You want God's wisdom, his guidance, his direction, his protection. Are you being obedient to what you know you're supposed to do? You know. God's already told you to do this or do that or whatever it is. Say, Brother Mitchell, pray for me. I just want to be obedient. Just pray for me. I want to be obedient. Raise your hand, put it up, take it right back down, all over the room. I just want to be obedient. Amen. In just a moment, the piano is going to play. Let me challenge you to be obedient and just give it to the Lord. Go ahead, come on up forward to an old-fashioned altar. Get on your knees and just say, God, I just want to be obedient. Make a commitment to Him today and just do it. Be obedient to the Holy Spirit here. It's a lot easier here than it is out there. As the pianist begins to play here in just a moment, we'll pray. If the pianist will play, altar's open. Father, I thank You for the opportunity to preach Your Word tonight. Lord, I thank You that You have given us Your Word that we can look into, study, and even an old story like this that we've all known, Lord, we can take and learn some lessons from it. We can carry with us the rest of our lives. Father, I pray for these that raised their hand, said that they just want to be obedient. Lord, I pray that You give them the strength, the power, the boldness to step forward, to be obedient, even tonight, in just taking a moment and turning whatever decision is, whatever that giant is, turning it over to You. Lord, I pray that You bless the invitation. We pray in Christ's name. Amen. Stand to our feet as the pianist begins to play. The altar's open. All we ask is that you just be obedient. As God's pounding on your heart tonight, just do what He asked you to do. Teenager, adult, young person, I don't know what your giant is tonight. I don't know what it is that you've been holding back. What's been in your way, so to speak, from stopping you from doing exactly what it is you know God wants you to do. I don't know what it is, but God does. There's no giant big enough that God can't control it. And God can't win the battle. Challenge you just to be obedient.
But so I hope you paid attention. I hope you listened. You may not be a lot of things. Not everybody's a preacher. Not everybody's a teacher. Not everybody can sing. Not everybody can play a piano. Not everybody has talents that other has. But let me tell you one thing that everybody can do, and that's be obedient. Everybody can be faithful. Everybody can be available to do whatever it is what God wants. Like Isaiah, here I am, Lord, send me. You know, God can do so much with a person that is just willing to be used over anybody that's got all the talent in the world. It's not about talent. It's about you being willing to do what God wants you to do. Being available. Just being open to what God has you to do. If you got talent, that's just icing on the cake. Let me tell you, He'll use anybody. He'll use anybody. Because He's using me. He'll use anybody. Thank you, Ms. Gwen. I appreciate it. We're seeing your teenagers up here sing. I was in a youth group about this size. We got up and we sang. It was about like that. Man, it's good. That brought back a lot of good memories, brother. I appreciate that. And if you guys don't mind, would you mind singing that other song? Would that be all right? Would you do that? He Knows My Name. Would you guys, y'all mind singing? Y'all mind hearing him sing again? Well, if you don't, too bad. You're going to hear it. If that's right with you guys. I appreciate good music. Man, when you get, hey, listen, you get teenagers singing, you know God has their heart. You get adults singing, you know, you got their heart. There's something about singing. There's something about, you guys go ahead and come on. You can crowd around me. It's all right. I can stand the smell of teenagers. It's okay. Amen. Now, hey, y'all go ahead and have a seat for just a few minutes. We're going to be dismissed here in just a few minutes. I appreciate what was preached tonight. Brother, correct me if I'm wrong here. Obedience always precedes power. You know, God always protects His name. There's always those that follow. Who's following you? Somebody's always following you. Somebody's always following. Who's following you? And where are you leading? I appreciate that. Yeah, I guess y'all sing, please. Thank you.
Thank you.
when we end the service out, we'll bow our heads, we'll stand, and we'll pray. And not tonight. Go ahead and stand. We're gonna sing "I'm on the Winning Side," and we'll be dismissed. That's all. A lot of singing going on tonight. That's all right. Here we go. Let's sing "I'm on the Winning Side." Well, I am on the winning side. Yes, I'm on the winning side. Out in sin, no more I abide. Well, I've enlisted in the fight for the cause of truth and right. Praise the Lord, I'm on the winning side. Y'all dismissed. Thank y'all for being here tonight.